Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Welcome to another edition of News and Views. Thanks for joining us. NAACP President Reverend William Barber was among a group of civil rights activists arrested this week at a protest at the state legislative building in Raleigh. The protesters were there to register their opposition to a series of proposals coming out of the House and Senate, from voter ID laws to cuts to unemployment benefits. Reverend Barber joins us now to talk about his arrest and what is happening in the General Assembly this session. Well, Reverend Barber, thank you very much for being with us. We know you're busy and we appreciate your time.
Always good to be with you.
And I want to first ask you about the nonviolent civil disobedience that happened recently at the General Assembly. Tell us why you were there and what happened.
We started with an olive branch to the governor, to McCrory, to Tillis and Berger in December. We wrote a letter to them and said, listen, the elections are over. Let's do what's best for North Carolina. Let's focus on economic justice, addressing jobs, poverty, education, equality, health care for all, dealing with the spread of the criminal justice system, and expanding and protecting voting rights. And if you're willing to do that, regardless of party, we're willing to work on that. We met with the governor. We didn't ever meet with Phyllis and the others, but we wanted to move the state forward. Instead, what we saw beginning the first week, the avalanche of regressive race and class-based policies, Chris, starting with denying 500,000 people Medicaid, poor people, black people, white people, Latino people, Republicans, Democrats. Then the next one, 165,000 unemployed workers will lose their unemployment July 1st. Then the attack on the Racial Justice Act, and then the attack, continuing attacks on public education. We're already at 49th in the nation in per pupil spending. Now they're attacking kindergarten and preschool and wanting to put a voucher system in to give public dollars to private schools. And then the voter ID bill became like the last straw, if you will. You see what I'm saying, Chris? There was this attempt to just roll everything back and to do it with a great disdain and disrespect for public input. Civil disobedience is what do you do when people have disregard for the most vulnerable and hurt? You have to, the love and justice demand a witness over against mean-spirited and hate-filled and race-based public policy. And that's why 17 people, women, men, clergy, disabled, students, engaged in civil disobedience as the first wave is not over, because if we can't stop their votes, we must ensure that everybody knows how they vote, and we must dramatize this shameful condition.
Let's start with the last thing you listed, the voter ID bill and voter suppression. What's behind, do you believe, the thinking that it should be harder for some people to cast their ballot?
In our mind, it's nothing more than an attempt to suppress African-American vote, other minorities, and to undermine what we call fusion politics. I mean, every time the rationale for these bills have come out, it's always about suppressing the vote to try to guarantee certain people who get elected, who can't get elected in a broad electorate, who can't get elected when you have blacks, Latinos, progressive whites, labor, faith, LGBT voting together. So when you can't win in the election, then you start trying to rig the election. And it started with the case LaRoque versus Holder. You remember the same people wanted to undo voting rights, Section 5. Then they passed that race-based redistricting plans. Now you're going voter IDs, a solution in search of a problem. It's just bad public policy.
And when you were listing the things that they have done, which I think the only way to describe it really is a war or assault on the poor, why in the world would we deny health care, unemployment, and fair taxes to people who are already struggling?
Most of the conversation that I've heard when I sat in the committee has been limited. They passed the Medicaid denial in about 15 minutes, really denied debate. In fact, one of the legislators told Senator from Durham, this is going to be done. Now, you can keep talking if you want to, but we're passing this. The rationale is so harsh. One legislator actually said, we take care of our own poor. We have a place they can go in our county, and every county should take care of their own poor, which is utterly ridiculous, and it was not true. In unemployment, they said if one suggested that if people get $500 a week, that'll cause them to stay home rather than keep looking for a job. I mean, the rationale behind this stuff is ridiculous. You know, even going back to voter ID, the speaker had to admit after they spent millions of dollars saying there was fraud in the system, that there was no fraud. But after they created the suspicion of fraud, then they said, well, we've got to restore confidence. So you destroy people's confidence in a false way. Now you have to restore that same confidence that you destroyed. This is extreme. It's race-based. It's class-based. It's wrong. It's backwards. It's not good for North Carolina. It's not good for people in North Carolina. And it's not good for America.
Do you think that North Carolinians who aren't paying attention to the legislative process normally, do you think they get it? Do you think that most people in North Carolina understand the extent of the damage that these folks are doing?
No, I think that is a part of the problem. And I think they've done a good job at passing stuff quick. That's why they're doing it so fast, to hope that people won't get it. I think the media's got to do much greater job. I know sometimes when we raised, for instance, the voter ID piece, and they said, well, it's about just the media, was some media, but it's just about, but I said, no, it's bigger than that. And we try to give them the litany. This is a time where we need objective media that really drills down in this stuff, that really gets into it and shows the impact. It's not about Republican and Democrat anymore. This is about the soul of this state and literally the soul of the nation. But that's also why we have engaged in this moral civil nonviolent civil disobedience, because one of the points of nonviolent civil disobedience is to ensure that things are not done in the dark, to ensure that they do not use the civility of parliamentary procedures to pass uncivil, unnecessary, and unconstitutional laws that create problems for everyday people. That's what they want. They want things to be quiet. They want to just act as though it's fine. We have to continue to expose that. Now the goal is get it out in the public. So in addition to civil disobedience, Chris, we're getting ready to launch a 15-county tour across North Carolina, targeting some of the counties where some of the representatives and senators who are pushing the most aggressive public policy actually live. They will not do this in the dark. And I always hope as a Christian preacher that some thread of conscience will hit folk and they say, wait a minute, this is just wrong. We hope they will. But if they don't, we'll still love them, but we will express deep dislike for these policies and we will let everybody know what's going on.
Well, Reverend Barber, thanks for all you're doing and safe travels. And thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much. And we ask people to visit our website at www.ncnaacp. There is a document entitled Why We Are Here that actually outlines why we are engaging in civil disobedience. It outlines that we have a legal strategy, we have an organizing strategy, but we also have a civil disobedience strategy, and all three of them work together. We love this state. We love the people of this state. We've given our lives and our time here. What we're doing is not about hate and mean-spiritedness. It's about love and justice and raising a witness that hopefully can assure that people know what's going on. And when they know, they get engaged so that we can really make North Carolina what we dream it should be. God bless you, Chris, and have a great day.
You too. Thank you very much. Up next, what the courts have said about drug testing people applying for public assistance. Stay with us.